I'm very confused about the Genius Act. I thought there was a deal made by the president to make sure that included was going to be the central bank digital currency. There'd be no possibility of a backdoor to get that. So where are we?
This was a closed rule. Johnson did not allow us to make amendments to the Genius Act, to make an amendment to put a ban on CBDC in the Genius Act. We were told, you don't have a right to amendments. You don't get to do your legislative process anymore. You just have to vote on it. And they forced it through, making what I think is a fake deal. And I wish the Freedom Caucus had held, but they didn't. They want to work and they want to pass the president's agenda, and I do too. But I'm not willing to go along with the pathway to a central bank digital currency in a cashless society where none of us can control our money. Because I don't trust the government, and no one else should trust the government. And just because this administration is committed to that doesn't mean that a future administration will not lock down our bank accounts if we are not doing and saying what they want us to do. We've already been there. That was the past 4 years.
When you go past one of these number plate cameras, when you, quote, shouldn't, you won't be able to challenge the fine, because the fine will be taken out of your digital account the moment you transgress.
At the world's busiest airport in Atlanta,
all right, you're fully verified.
The TSA checkpoint has gotten a high-tech upgrade.
You're going to take your ID, insert it into the card reader.
Using this facial recognition camera system to compare a flyer's face to their picture on their ID in seconds.
The Genius Act, already greenlit by a bipartisan Senate, claims to slap a federal harness on stable coins. Stable coins aim for price stability through mechanisms like backing each coin with reserves of cash, bonds, or other assets. The Clarity Act is a tug of war over who gets to leash these digital assets. Will it be the SEC or the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, potentially prying them loose from the SEC's iron grip? A move the crypto rebels have been howling for. The anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act, championed by Republicans, aims to slam the door on a central bank digital currency, citing nightmares of government snooping and control. Yet many warn of a sinister backdoor, a legislative sleight of hand that could see these bills, if watered down in the Senate or hitched to must-pass juggernauts like the NDAA, could pave the way for a CBDC Trojan horse.
It's really hard to overstate how dangerous it is. It is literally the mark of the beast system, a global social credit score, the ESG corporate governance systems right down into your smart devices, your phone, the smart appliances, the AI, surveilling everyone in live time.
You don't expect your air-fried chips to come with a side of surveillance, but research has found they might.
Do I need umbrella for tomorrow in London?
From tracking locations to listening to conversations to knowing your gender and date of birth, our devices, in some cases, are acutely smart.
And so it's really the ring of Sauron to bind everybody together with total control. And we have the head of the IMF and the World Bank and the International Mega Settlements and the head of the UN and all of them. We have Tedros, the head of the WHO, saying we need a global central bank digital currency to control everything you do, to lock you down during new pandemics they've got planned. This is the mechanism. It'll be your internet ID. It'll do everything. And if we think as populist and conservatives and Christians and common sense people that we've been debanked and harassed as conservatives before, this is exponentially more dangerous. And the big international banks that the Federal Reserve is part of, private, they have said this is their holy grail, and they're really, really trying to roll it out. And so the fact that there is a pathway to this with a digital central bank digital currency dollar in this Genius Act, and then only MTG and you and a few others have been exposing it, it is a nightmare.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
It's Wednesday, July 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this morning from the Austin, Texas headquarters of InfoWars. We got a lot to talk about today. A lot of stuff broke just after the show yesterday, including some statements from Donald Trump that are pretty incredible, as well as some decisions being made by Congress that just make everything worse for everybody. So we'll get into all of that, and we'll be joined by Mike Shelby in the third hour, I believe, unless I'm wrong about that. Mike Shelby, of course, from the Gray Zone Intel. He's going to be talking about the accelerating Antifa insurrection activity that's going on, including a follow-up to the ambush and attempted assassination of ICE agents here in Texas with the with one of the gunmen being arrested yesterday, the Benjamin Hanel Song character. So we'll talk to him about where this goes from here. And, of course, he's basically been coming on routinely since Trump got inaugurated and just plotting out exactly what the left is cooking up behind the scenes, and we're seeing it come to fruition. So very excited to talk to him in the third hour. We'll take your calls as well. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 23rd of July, 2025. Trump announces massive trade deal with Japan with 15% tariffs. On Tuesday in Washington, U.S. President Donald Trump announced a massive trade deal with Japan, setting tariffs at 15% on imports. The deal followed months of escalating tariff threats, including a planned 25% tariff starting August 1st, pressuring Japan into negotiations. The agreement lowers tariff rates and expands market access for American vehicles, rice, and selected farm goods, while Japan agreed to a reciprocal 15% tariff as well. Japan would direct $550 billion in investment to the United States, a move Trump predicted would generate hundreds of thousands of new jobs. The Japanese officials haven't verified this agreement, but the White House is insisting it's so. Meanwhile, House Speaker starts August recess early to avoid Jeffrey Epstein votes. On Monday, the House Rules Committee abruptly disbanded, aiming to block Democrats from calling up Epstein documents release amendments. Under growing transparency pressure, Democratic lawmakers showed no signs of relenting before the House leaves for their August recess. To avoid compelled votes, the House Rules Panel disbanded Monday, delaying Epstein-related bills until September. Amid criticism, House Speaker Mike Johnson postponed a vote on a GOP-backed resolution until after the August recess, sparking backlash from conservative Republicans. With legislation pending, the Department of Justice asked Manhattan Federal Court Friday to release grand jury testimony from the Epstein prosecution, and President Donald Trump would likely veto similar legislation. Which, I mean, what else is there to say that we haven't already said? I mean, the Epstein scandal was always Republicans pushing it. It was a talking point during the campaign from Donald Trump himself and J.D. Vance and others. Up until, you know, just a couple weeks ago, when they decided all of the sudden and for no good reason, this was a Democrat hoax and that they would insult and demean anybody talking about it. Why they forged this sword for their enemies, I can't possibly say, but now the Democrats have decided for the first time in their existence that elite pedophilia, human trafficking, and, you know, high-level conspiracy is actually worth their attention. Again, not because they actually care about any of this stuff, but because it is so obviously a vulnerability of the Trump administration. And now, I guess, of the Republican Congress, who are shutting down early rather than put this to vote. Something that, again, the Democrats would have never voted for if this had been held a month ago. But the Republicans have spent a month gift wrapping this gigantic issue. And now, for some godforsaken reason, Republicans have become the guardians, the you know, stopgap measure, standing on the bridge, the lone warrior fighting off the American people from finding out about the high-level international Mossad-run blackmail pedophile rings that are tearing this country apart. And we'll see how this all turns out. We'll see. I guess we'll see how this all turns out. We'll show you some stats a little bit later that people are having a hard time understanding. I'm going to try to provide some clarity on what exactly is happening with things like Gen Z abandoning Trump over the last 6 months and what might be the cause of that movement. Meanwhile, U.S. Olympic officials bar transgender women from women's competition. So I guess another headline would be U.S. officials bar men from women's competition. So great, I guess. Yeah, that's, yeah, no, it's great. It's great. Why we had to pretend for a couple years like men and women aren't different, God only knows, but I'm glad we're emerging from this delusion. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee has updated its policies to bar transgender women from competing in women's sports in compliance with President Trump's executive order. This change was communicated in an athlete safety policy issued by the USOPC on June 18th, which now affects national governing bodies. USOPC officials, including Sarah Hirschlin and President Gene Sykes, emphasized the need for fair competition environments for women. Opponents, including the National Women's Law Center, condemned the decision, arguing it sacrifices athlete safety and needs for political demands, which is just obviously absurd and nonsense. And why would you give them the time of day? And so congratulations to all the women out there who actually have a fighting chance now. Congratulations, you guys. So sorry to the men who previously held Olympic dreams, who dreamed of standing on that podium holding the gold. I'm sorry, it's not happening because you are going to have to race against people of your own gender. And when you're against people of your own gender, those gold medal times are not going to be enough to qualify. So that, of course, is the reason they like competing against women, because they're cheaters and they're just bad people. They're just in general bad people. Remember this guy? Remember they tried to convince everybody that he was actually a woman? And then it's like four or five times. It's like, oh, actually revealed he's a man. It's like, yeah, we know. It was like a month later. It was like, the tests have come back and he's a man. And we're like, yes. Yeah, we're aware. We can see him. And they're like, oh, but actually he's allowed to actually the hormones. And actually we did this other test. And then like a month later, they're like, and it's a man. And we're like, yes, we know. We're aware that it is a man competing against women. That's the whole issue that we have. So we can just stop any of this confusion by sticking to the obvious and imminently observable reality of our world. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Meanwhile, White House to unveil plan to push U.S. AI abroad, crack down on restrictive rules, document shows. The White House intends to push a plan on Monday, publish a plan on Wednesday, rather, that calls for the export of American AI technology abroad and a crackdown on state laws deemed too restrictive to let it flourish, a document seen by Reuters shows. And again, AI is sort of the superlative issue at this point in that it is the race to control humanity, and whoever conquers that, you know, AI battlefield will win the day. And of course, this is sucking up a lot of attention and energy from people in power who, you know, understand the incredible power of AI and understand their need to get out ahead of its creation in order to bend it to their will. And again, we can maybe only pray and hope that our one solace from AI is that it does in fact know the truth and is getting pissed at the people telling it to censor itself. Mecha Hitler lurks in the shadows. Meanwhile, Delta plans to use AI in ticket pricing, draws plans from U.S. lawmakers. Three Democratic senators have pressed AI, Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian to answer questions about the airline's planned use of artificial intelligence to set ticket prices, raising concerns about the impact on travelers. And you see, what they're doing now, and Delta is not the only place doing this, they're going to start using AI to scan your information and to get a dossier on you in order to set a ticket price for you in particular. In other words, if it thinks you can afford more, it'll charge you more. And if it thinks you can afford less, it'll charge you less. And of course, this is all just a prelude to the intended implementation of, you know, carbon credit controls, in which the AI will scan your profile, determine how much meat you've eaten, how many miles you've driven in a car, basically what you've consumed in totality, and then, you know, weigh that against your allotted, you know, sustenance ration, and then determine whether or not you're permitted to fly or travel or eat meat or any other basic human freedom that they're now turning into privileges controlled by AI. And of course, we've been warning about this forever. We've been telling you this forever. Yeah, Delta moves towards eliminating set prices in favor of AI that determines how much you personally will pay for a ticket. Which, okay, yeah, I just... Is there any argument even being made or even imaginable that this is in any way a positive development for anybody except, I guess, maybe Delta shareholders or the masters of AI that are incrementally implementing it into our lives to control us uniformly? Is there any benefit to this? I know airlines do this all the time. And again, it's sort of a regular thing that I wish more people would be outraged by. Things like how you used to go to a counter and have somebody check you in. And of course, to cut costs, they replaced those people with touch screens. So you have to check yourself in, meaning they get to save the money on hiring the people and training the people to do the check-ins because they just offload that labor cost onto the customers. But the customer's price doesn't go down. So they constantly are implementing cost-saving measures that put more burden on the customers, that make it less convenient and, you know, means that you're paying for less service, and yet the price never decreases, and yet you're always paying more and more and more and more. Yeah, eventually it'll be like that, like the images we just showed, just people packed on top of each other like sardines, your butt in the face of the person behind you, and the price will still be just as high as it was when it was a first class, you know, bed convertible seat. So why would they be doing this? So it's certainly not benefit of the customers. Maybe they think they can squeeze more money out of you that way, which I guess would be a boon for shareholders. But is there any belief that this technology will be used to lower prices? Like, is this something that they're implementing going, so now we'll be able to use AI, and by using its efficiency, we'll be able to save money and pass that savings on to you. Like, they're not even suggesting that that's the case. This is strictly a practice of how do we exploit the people to the maximum degree, even if it damages our business. And looking further down the line, how will this be manipulated to punish certain people? I mean, this is the beginnings of the social credit score, right? When you have prices dictated by an individual rather than the market at large, you're entering into the social credit score sphere. That is extremely dangerous and the ultimate weapon of control in the hands of these people. And again, we have been warning about this forever because this has not been a secret that they're trying to do this. They're actually fairly open about their designs. And their designs have nothing to do with maximizing human experience, maximizing potentiality, maximizing prosperity. Everything they have designed in terms of climate change programs and all these restrictions that are coming down the pipe. And again, it doesn't matter to them what excuse they use to implement them, whether it's a virus like COVID. Oops, now you have to do vaccine passports, or so-called climate change, where they will destroy your ability to, you know, power your lifestyle in order to forcibly downgrade you to a less civilized form, or whatever other excuse they can come up with. War would be a great one. That's why they're trying to start World War III so intensely, because obviously that would give them massive room to maneuver in order to implement all of these programs. But the C-40, you know, brochures that we've shown, the actual, like, literature they've come out with, C-40 cities, World Economic Forum, all of these, this gigantic array of all of these organizations funded by billions of dollars, all tell you, yeah, the plan in the future is for humans to exist, and that's it. Just bare sustenance level, and it goes for everything. And we've shown you, I mean, their future projections are that by the year 2030, nobody will be flying anywhere. Unless, of course, you have a high enough social credit score or your carbon allotment is upgraded. Because obviously, you know, the people that are flying in private jets all around, they're not going to be restricted by any of this. In fact, again, we pointed this out during COVID when they very deliberately wrote into COVID law that certain people of certain economic levels or in certain positions with certain corporations, they just didn't have to abide by the rules that everybody else had to abide by. Explicitly. Here's the rule. You have to go to quarantine and be locked down for 2 weeks in a hotel room that you pay for if you want to enter the UK. Unless, of course, you're the CEO of Google, in which case we waive that requirement. And it's just, they just wrote that into the law. So that's what's coming. And in fact, there was a headline earlier today or yesterday where they're saying, you know, in the future, British people will be limited to flying, you know, once a year, if that. And that's perfectly in line with the C-40 cities, the programs that they've been implementing forever. Again, they're quite open about their intentions to limit and restrict your movement in a variety of different ways, or your, you know, economic abilities. I mean, hell, the C-40 city layout dictates how many clothes you're allowed to buy. You're allowed to buy, you know, one t-shirt and one pair of pants a year. And that's enough for you. We've decided that that's all that you really need. And of course, they'll be, like I said, flying from castle to castle in their private jet, completely, you know, indulging in whatever extreme consumerism they want to. But that's because they're the important ones doing the important work of writing policies to restrict all of you. So, you know, they can't be expected to abide by the same rules. Again, COVID was a perfect example of how this will work in reality, how it did work in reality. And we explained at the time, this is how, I mean, it's sort of most apparent in communist structures, socialist structures, where, and it's just always like this, right? The people that are imposing the restrictions on everybody else, they say, the work I'm doing is so important. I'm saving the world after all, right? I'm rescuing the world. I'm saving the world from itself by restricting all of you. Therefore, I can't be required to abide by the same restrictions. Who else is going to save the world if I have to abide by the same restrictions I'm imposing on everybody else in order to save the world? You see how this works? So when Nancy Pelosi is telling everybody that you're all going to be locked down and you're not allowed to go to a salon to get your hair cut, well, she gets to go to a salon for a full makeup, workup, hairdo, makeup, everything, because she's got to go on TV and tell everybody they're all locked down. So she can't just go out there looking all frizzy and unkempt, because for the sake of the continuation of the power structure, they have to project, you know, like they're in charge and they're respectable and that they're somebody that should be listened to. So in that case, her breaking the rules is a necessary component of having the, you know, the costume to be the one to impose the rules on everybody else. This is just how it works. John Kerry pretty much said this explicitly when he was asked about, you know, the fact that he flies around on a private jet while restricting everybody else. And he's like, the work I'm doing is too important for me not to fly around in a private jet. I'm too important, and the work I'm doing in restricting everybody else is just so important that I cannot be expected to abide by those same restrictions. Again, it's not necessarily complicated. It's just hypocritical and just obviously manipulative and exploitation at the highest level. So it's an extremely concerning development. It's especially concerning with the way that ownership itself is being slowly but surely eliminated from human practice, right? You'll own nothing, you'll be happy. We say that just about every day. It's like a mantra here because it's the mantra of that the globalists have imbibed, have taken unto themselves, have like absorbed like a religious credo, and they pursue it with everything they've got. And so if you're not going to own a car, and if the pricing is going to be dictated by you personally, or, you know, to you personally, not just a standard market rate. And of course, Uber kind of dipped their toe in the water on this anyway with surge pricing, and, you know, the same ride could cost three times as much if you take it at a different time. So there's already this variable pricing mechanism that we've been introducing into our society. But now grocery stores are starting to do it. And when this gets implemented with, you know, AI cars, and when BlackRock buys up all the private homes in order to rent them back to you, then it just means that everything in your life will be not owned by you to do with what you will, and, you know, without restrictions other than the law that you can't like hurt anybody. It'll be just total control. It'll just be these corporations aligned with the government dictating whether or not you're allowed to do certain things. And if they don't want you to do it, then they just price it high enough to exclude you from being able to do it. Or, for example, and this already happened, and it's happened in multiple different ways, but earlier this year, when there were protests against the immigration raids in LA, Waymo robo taxis would not take people to the area of the protest. Now, obviously, that's because the protesters were attacking Waymo cars, and so the Waymo cars just wanted to avoid the area as to not be destroyed. But it's also extremely troubling to know that your protest against the government might violate terms of service and the transportation you need to gather in a protest downtown or outside the courthouse or whatever it may be that your protest is staged. Well, they just won't let you go there. The corporations that control the vehicles just won't let you ride there. And certainly they'll shut down the bus lanes and the train transportation there, and suddenly there's no protest because nobody can get there unless they're within walking distance. So again, just absolute control is coming down the pipe. They are putting all of the necessary components in place for activating the beast system where you will own nothing, you'll have no privacy, and your every activity will be by permission of the beast.
Ladies and gentlemen, James O'Keefe was here in studio last week, but he was on the last hour, and I forgot to give him methylene blue until the last 30 minutes, but he was going on Owen. So I asked him on air, take it now, I'm not going to say what it does, and tell us honestly what your response is. And it was, quite frankly, pretty amazing. So the crew just reminded me that James O'Keefe has not tried methylene blue, or they asked me to ask him. He has it, doesn't know what it is, but he's so nice and trusting, he just took it. It's actually cyanide, James. No, seriously.
Trying to poison me.
I'm joking, you know, it's really good for you. It takes 30 minutes to hit. It's not a stimulant, but it creates mitochondrial function and skips the oxidative process two levels or three levels in the cells. Usually takes 30 minutes to hit. You're on Owen at 4. Just please, Owen, talk to Owen. Ask if it hit you, what you felt. And if you didn't, we're going to put it on air, and you'll be the only guest that hasn't. So slam the rest of your medicine.
You got it.
So you're asking what the methylene blue is. It is something RFK Jr. pushes. It's something I've known about for years, but we've got the best, and it is amazing what it does to your body.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Sometimes it is in 15 minutes. You got to let us know what you feel.
Wait, I've been drinking it for about 10 minutes, so we'll see.
You just started drinking about 2 minutes ago.
I finished the rest of it.
20 minutes later.
I just took it. I took a lot of it, and I would say it was the effect on me was light sensations. It was increased light perception. That's what happened to me.
The pixels of the world around you, of the simulation,
like enhanced a little bit? Enhancing my eyes when a light, and I woke away, just a bit of enhancement perception there.
But then after he talked about his eyesight getting clearer, I got reminded by the crew that I've had callers about this effect, and there's actually medical literature out there.
I've got glaucoma. My vision has been crap for the last 20 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's perfect now.
What?
Yeah.
How long have you been taking Methylene Blue?
5 days. After 3 days, perfect vision.
No kidding.
Depth perception's back, and I don't have to hold my phone at my hip to read it.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, man.
This stuff is crazy amazing, and the medical research shows that.
It clears the brain fog, where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah! I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it, your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
This stuff kicked in, and it like instantly, I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
But whatever you do, do your own research, talk to your physician, and then get the very best medical grade Methylene Blue supplement out there at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a limited time sale until next Tuesday, the 29th, where you get one bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com and get a second bottle free right now. The limited time offer at thealexjonesstore.com. Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. There's a meme I saw earlier today that sort of sums up everything that we're talking about. And again, it's cliche at this point, but it's cliche because it's true and it doesn't go away. Right? Woman separates yogurt cups into cardboard and plastic as 95 private jets land in Venice for Jeff Bezos' wedding. Right? They've got you doing these little ceremonial rituals, like separating your recycling out. Give you a sense of accomplishment, sense that you're doing something, when in reality you're doing nothing, because recycling is a giant scam for the most part, except in certain northern European countries that have figured out how to do it efficiently. So they have you performing these little, you know, religious symbolic activities while they fly around the world in private jets, organizing how to restrict your consumption habits. Truly couldn't be more obvious what a ridiculous scam it all is. Now, I got lots of videos to go to today. We're going to take your calls as well in the second hour. In the third hour, we'll be joined by Mike Shelby. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to keep us on the air and in the fight, and we make it easy for you to do so with incredible bombshell sales. This week is the buy one, get one bombshell sale, plus 25% off everything extended one more day. You get buy one, get one free on methylene blue tincture, buy one, get one free on the Shilajit gummies, buy one, get one free on the CMOS gummies as well. Unleash your inner warrior with the buy one, get one bombshell sale at thealexjonesstore.com happening this week only. Grab yourself a bottle of Shilajit gummies, get another for free, boosting your energy and stamina like never before, or double up on methylene blue tincture to supercharge your cognitive focus with this incredible buy one, get one deal. And you can also make sure not to miss out on the ultimate CMOS gummies also. Buy one, get one free to support your immune system and overall wellness. All these products are incredible. We take them ourselves. We wouldn't sell you something that we don't ourselves enjoy and use. And there's, you know, these are just sort of our flagship, the AlexJonesStore.com products, the Shilajit, the CMOS, but there's so many other fantastic products coming out on almost a weekly basis. Go there, check it out, buy one, get one free for our best sellers like Shilajit and CMOS that are delicious, but their taste is second only to the incredible power that they pack. Try them yourself today, thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Again, like I said, lots of videos and lots of crazy stories to get into about a number of different topics. What should we watch? Let's see what we'd watch first. You know, a lot of the... Well, let's start with what happened, I guess, basically as soon as this show ended yesterday, which was Donald Trump made another, you know, pretty strident statement against Obama and his collaborators who attempted to overthrow the results of the 2016 election through falsified fake dossiers about made up information, Donald Trump and the Russians. Clip 11 here. This is shortly after the show, the American Journal, ended yesterday. Trump was asked about the information released by Tulsi Gabbard, the DNI, about the treason carried out by Obama and his cronies. Let's watch.
Tulsi Gabbard has submitted a criminal referral to the Department of Justice. From your perspective, who should the DOJ target as part of their investigation? What specific figures in the Obama administration?
Well, based on what I read, and I read pretty much what you read, it would be President Obama. He started it. And Biden was there with him. And Comey was there. And Clapper. The whole group was there. Brennan. They were all there in a room. Right here. This was the room. This is much more beautiful than it was then, but that's okay. I have nice pictures up. They came out of the vaults. They were in there for 100 years. This is much more beautiful. We have the Declaration of Independence now in the room, which wasn't here. I guess people didn't feel too good about putting it here, but I do. But you know what? If you look at that, those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them, too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. You've seen some pretty rough countries. This man has seen some pretty rough countries, but you've never seen anything like it.
It's fairly true, everything he's saying. I mean, it's absolutely, completely true. It is... I mean, yeah, I guess I'd say treason. It certainly is a massive abuse of power. Again, I think the term abuse of power needs to, like, come back into use. Maybe that sounds silly, because... But I think that there's a weird thing with Democrats where, like, I don't think they believe that there's such a thing as abuse of power. I think the mindset that we talked about basically for the whole show yesterday, right? Everything from Sneaky Pete. And I don't know if I made that point as well as I could. When we're talking about the $80 billion that he spent on DEI, he spent that on DEI for his own ambitions. He gave away $80 billion of your money to buy favor from various interest groups. That's what that means. It's not about, you don't think he actually believes that DEI is a good thing or anything. It's just that there are these massive, you know, I don't know, ethnic interest groups that by giving them billions of dollars, he hopes that they'll support him when he tries to become president. This is all part of it's just a giant scam. And that sort of set the tone for everything that we talked about yesterday in just terms of this unrelenting selfishness, narcissism, just self-serving attitude of the Democrats, where anytime you put them in a position of any power, they just see it as a license to, you know, pay their side, pay their friends, build up their own ideology. Again, this is just an endless, there are endless examples of this, and we just constantly have to remind people that it's not even anything hidden. It's they're literally open about how they do this. I always think back to when Lena Hidalgo, the judge from Harris County, was running, and she never once said, I will be a good judge. She never once was like, I know how the judge position works and I will do it the best. Because in those positions, it's like kind of weird, but the judge's main role is like disaster response, emergency response, and like flood zoning control. So he's not a judge like you normally think about hearing, you know, hearing cases in court. It's about just basic sort of bureaucratic, the bureaucratic functionary position where you're just supposed to keep the wheels greased and the emergency supplies flowing. But when she was running for this position, she didn't say, I'll be good at that. She didn't say, I have experience in this realm and I'll be able to, you know, save money and maximize what the county is able to do. She said, I'll create after school programs to teach kids about socialism. Literally, that's what she said. She's like, if you put me in position in this position, I will use this position to indoctrinate kids into socialism. I'm not even exaggerating. It's literally, I mean, they, you know, we're going to have after school programs to teach kids about how the government works and what it can do for you. It's like, okay, so you want to indoctrinate children into your political ideology, and that's what you are saying you're going to do as judge, whose primary role is flood prevention. You're going to be holding after school programs to indoctrinate kids into your ideology because you see that as, you know, progressing your particular beliefs into the next generation. Like it doesn't even enter into the conversation that she might be good or not good at the job that she's going for. It's all about, I will use this job to benefit us and our political side. So again, not a secret, not hidden. This is just what they do. This is just who they are, okay? I just think we all need to recognize and remember, and again, going back to the phrase, abuse of power, that to the Democrats, if Obama wants to launch an investigation against Trump in order to hobble or completely destroy his political career, and he's got the power to do it, then he can do it. I really don't think they understand that phrase, abuse of power. They genuinely think if I have the power to do something, it's not abuse for me to do it. Which just goes to the heart of why their belief system is incompatible with ours. And I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday going, well, Trump screwed himself over because he's talking about going after Obama, but it was Trump himself that got the Supreme Court decision that established total presidential immunity, right? Because they were trying to go after Trump over whatever, who even remembers what it was about at this point. something obviously perfectly legal for Trump to do, and, you know, not even out of the realm of just normal government activity. But then to them, that means that Obama is therefore allowed to use fake evidence to create falsified warrants to spy on his political opponents. It's like, let's just play this out. If you really think that type of activity is suddenly legal now, like if they're defending Obama for this and going, well, too bad, he's got presidential immunity, then why wouldn't Trump just start doing that? Like these are the options that we have, basically. Either it was wrong what Obama did and he has to be held to account for it. Either it was wrong for the president of the United States to sick the intelligence community on his opponent through knowingly falsified evidence in a complete abuse of the system. Either that was wrong and it needs to be punished, or Donald Trump should be doing that against everybody. So I guess the choice is yours. Either that was wrong what Obama did and it has to be punished and undone, or Trump should just have the intelligence community just come up with accusations about all of his opponents and just spy on them continuously, gather all of their communications, interrogate every one of their close associates in order to try to get, you know, more dirt on them, threaten their close associates with extensive jail time if they don't flip on the candidate, sending honeypot operatives from foreign countries to try to weasel their way into the candidate's campaign itself. Like, is that what you're saying? You're saying that because Obama did it, it's now what precedent set, and now that's just what our government can do? That's just what the president in power can do now, is completely spy on, surveil with the intent of destroying their political opponent. Look, I just want to play the game by the rules. And if the Democrats are saying that these are the rules, then we just have no choice but to play by them, right? I would prefer that the rules be adhered to and that the extreme overreach of the Obama administration is set to right through the applicable punishment, which in this case may very well be hanging him by the neck until he's dead. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a scholar, but a man can dream. I would prefer that. But if that's not the case, if Obama gets away with this, if Comey gets away with this, if Brennan and Clapper and et cetera get away with this, then okay, fine. That's just what the rules are. That's just how we have to play. And of course, the saddest thing in the world is knowing that even if that is the case, the Republicans wouldn't do it. Which is like, okay, in a world where this doesn't happen, it's immoral to do it. When Obama did it, it was immoral to do it because it's completely in violation of not just the letter, but the spirit of the law and our constitutional, authority over us. But if that's just the case, like once it happens, and once they do it, and if the establishment at large decides no punishment is warranted, then I can't say that it's immoral to do that anymore. I would say it's stupid not to do it. I'd say it's almost immoral not to do it. I mean, if you're in a fight and, the agreement is no face hits and the guy socks you in the face and then keeps hitting you in the face, you're not moral by not hitting him back in the face. Like, okay, the rules have changed. If the fight doesn't stop right there once he hits you in the face, you're okay. Now the fight is we hit each other in the face. That's just what it is. All right. And really the first person to throw the barred attack, deserves greater punishment. Then when you hit him in the face, you really shouldn't relent. You shouldn't let up because they wanted this. They opened up the floodgates. They set the precedent. And so if you're not responding in kind, you're just a sucker. You're just an idiot. You're just getting punched in the face. And I don't know, maybe they're operating under some delusion that by not punching back, eventually the other side will be like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. Like, I don't know. I can't even tell what they think would be the response by not responding in kind. They've established this is the way it goes. They've established the Democrats have now told us, no uncertain words, if the president of the United States wants to create fake evidence to go after his political opponent, all he has to do is launder it through a foreign spy agency. And that's easy. The Five Eyes, just, you know, five heads on the same Hydra. So it'd be an easy matter for Trump. Of course, maybe not for Trump because he is the enemy of the intelligence agencies around the world. But it'd be a simple matter of just finding a disaffected or, you know, retired British agent to, you know, spin up a dossier out of whole cloth and send it over and pretend like it's valid or accurate or believable in any way. You don't have to actually believe it. Doesn't even have to be remotely believable. Steele dossier was not remotely believable, but it didn't matter. It was just the excuse they needed. Just like an example I always use of the, you know, stop and go attendant who just needs to see an ID to sell you beer. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if it's fake. He just needs to check the box. He needs to be able to say to the cop, if the cop comes in, I checked her ID. I didn't know it was fake. It looked real to me. That's all, just covering his butt. He doesn't care. He knows it's fake, but he's got a, it's just a charade. It's just playing the part. So same thing with the evidence, right? They know it's fake. They know it's not valid. They know there's no threat from Russian interference when it comes to the Trump administration. So they just falsify it in order to check the list, in order to look like they're fulfilling the basic requirements for doing any of this. So again, I just, these are our options that we have. Either Obama has to be punished or Trump has to do the same thing Obama did. Because Obama's going to do the same thing Obama did. Like, they're going to do it again if this doesn't get punished adequately. And I mean adequately. Here, by the way, is the story I was saying earlier from the Daily Record. Brits could be banned from going on holiday as carbon passports are introduced. A new report has suggested that Brits could be banned from going on holiday as carbon passports are introduced in a bid to slow down climate change. And as people point out in the comments, there are now 97 cities signed onto the C40 network. The main goals of the C40 network by 2030 are to implement the 15-minute city concept, eliminate private vehicle ownership, severely limit meat and dairy consumption, limit clothing purchases to 3 items per year. You thought I was kidding. Like, no, this is literally their established, published checklist of accomplishments. Restrict short-haul flights to 1 every 3 years. Short-haul flights, 1 every 3 years. So if you're in Texas, you can fly to Oklahoma 1 every 3 years. It doesn't even make sense because it literally doesn't even account for round trips. They're literally like, you can fly once, and of course they're on an island, right? So it's like, okay, you can go from the UK to Portugal 1 every 3 years, and you have to be extra good to get the return flight. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Severely limit building practices, e.g. no gas stoves. 15-minute cities means that you are fined if you leave your district. This will be able to be enforced by digital currencies. You will be limited on how much of your own money you can spend on meat, dairy, clothes, electricity, fuel, and travel. It's time to wake up. And of course, the cities that have signed up to the C40 city pledge are numerous, dozens of cities all around the world. Again, showing the various, the like multi-layered method by which all this is being implemented. That yes, it's being done at the international level with programs like the EU, or, you know, organizations like the EU or the World Economic Forum imposing these things on their constituent states, or it's done at the national level with, you know, banning gas stoves or whatever else being put into bills passed by Congress. But it's also happening at the state level, and it's also happening at the county level, and it's happening at the city level, and it's happening at the neighborhood level. And they have these groups insinuated into the government structures at every single one of these levels, pushing us towards the same goal, the same globalist prison planet scam using a variety of different control factors or mechanisms of commerce and industry. So why are we letting them? Why are we letting them do this? Again, it's not, they're not asking permission. They aren't telling you they have a plan and asking you to get along with it. They are, in effect, putting a gun to your head and saying, that's enough socks for you, sir. Sir, you've had enough socks, I think. You're destroying the world if you want to buy another pair of socks. And, of course, you can break down these sort of constituent aspects of climate change and see that it's like a, like I often describe the fractal conspiracy, which is the same idea that the mechanisms for manipulation and control that work on an individual basis are the very same psychological levers being pulled when you're indoctrinating or subverting an entire nation. But there's also like the fractal lies, where it's like the lies about carbon destroying the world, which spiral out into the lie of the first world is destroying the world, but the third world isn't. So the first world has to lower its birth rates while the third world's birth rates are exploding. But now we need migration because the first world doesn't replacing itself. So now we need to bring people from the third world to the first world, meaning that all of the carbon creation that you were getting rid of by lowering the birth rate is now only maximizing because you've got even more people in. I mean, it's just absurdity piled upon absurdity, lie stacked on top of every other lie. And it just never ends. Nothing about this is even remotely consistent or equitable or logical or realistic. Just none of it at all, even a little bit. So why are we letting them do it? So why are they being allowed to do this? And the answer is because individuals do not have the power or capacity to fight against the corporations that are implementing this. And the government is co-opted by the corporations doing this. So the one organization that we have and can collectively combine our will and our power into a government to protect us from exploitation from these people is not being utilized and instead being weaponized against us as well. So if we can reclaim that power and then use it to our benefit, we could stop all of this. Until then, they're just going to do it to you. So collectivize and stop them or die. Those are our choices.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting, in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Ugh.